back in the press row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific Tuesday. It's a terrific Tuesday on Press Row because we're welcoming back in Phil Steele, one of our favorite guests of the year. Phil Steele, of course, has that fantastic college football preview, 350 full-color pages of stats, trends, angles, returning starters, forecast. You can still order it, Phil Steele, that's PhilSteele.com. You can order now, and those things ship tomorrow. So, Phil, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
You know, I am doing great. How about you guys this afternoon?
Well, we are doing wonderfully. We've been dealing with this since March, obviously, Phil. What has been the biggest difference between doing your magazine this year compared to previous years?
Well, I would say there's two things. The first was the release of the magazine. Normally, we send that final page to the press at the end of May. This year, we had to wait until the middle of July because I talked to coaches, talked to about 110 of the head coaches out there this year, and that takes time. And as opposed to doing it in March and April when there's a great deal of uncertainty, I waited until May and June when coaches had a little more knowledge of what was going on with the teams and things like that. So we put the magazine out later. That's one. And the second is limited distribution. Normally, we're printing close to 200,000 magazines. This year, we only printed 50,000. And as opposed to being everywhere, at every newsstand and every drugstore out there, we're limited to just Barnes & Noble and Books A Million are the two retailers, or you can order it direct at philsteele.com. But limited distribution and lack of distribution nationwide would probably be the two biggest differences.
Wow. Of course, the SEC, 8 of its 14 teams, never even had the first spring practice. When you delayed the process and you're talking to these coaches, did those who had 3, 4, or 5 practices, and I know there were a couple of schools in the FBS that actually had all 15, but how much more forthcoming with information were they compared to a coach that never had the first spring practice?
Well, you know, a lot depended on what state the coach was in. If it was an experienced head coach and he had an experienced team and he had 0 spring practices, most coaches said, hey, you know what? It's much like during a game. If you lose your star running back and then your number 2 running back goes down, do you fold up the tent and quit? No, it's next man in. And that's how the coaches look at things heading into the season. It was, hey, everybody else has got their obstacles. We've got the obstacles. We'll overcome it. We're in decent shape. Now, the coaches I feel sorry for are the first-year head coaches, because if the first-year head coach didn't have benefit of the spring, he's probably never seen a kid on the field, hasn't even seen his quarterbacks throw a football. That could have an impact this year. But experienced head coaches, especially with experienced teams, really the spring being canceled doesn't affect them too much.
You're listening to Phil Steele, who's Phil Steele's College Football Preview Magazine. We'll be shipping tomorrow. You can still order at philsteele.com. You're listening to Phil here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Phil, to kind of piggyback off something David was asking, with more time but still just as much to do, I'm curious, did you have more of a mental grind as you were wondering whether all this was going to be for naught?
Yeah, back in March, when I decided that we weren't going to distribute the 200,000 magazines we normally do and cut it down, I had a lot of wonder in my head as to what was going on, especially in the state of Ohio. They closed our office down, so all the employees were on unemployment, you know, the entire staff, and I was just sitting here in an empty office by myself grinding away. A lot of thought there, but when things reopened back up towards the end of May, the start of June, the staff got back in here. We got full bore on this magazine. We were able to punch it out, put the same amount of effort, same amount of quality in the magazine that we normally do, and felt a lot better about it at that point.
Now, you told David that the first-year head coach, those guys are going to be especially behind the eight ball. You pride yourself on being able to pick the teams that are going to go from ranked 22nd to being a top 5 type of organization. Did you readjust any of your prisms because depth is going to be so much more important this year?
Yeah, the thought process was in there the entire step of the way. You know, if I talk to a head coach and, you know, let's take a look at one head coach that probably in a really tough situation, Mel Tucker at Michigan State. not only was he a first-year head coach with a new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, and only 10 returning starters this year, but he took over after, remember, Coach D'Antonio stepped down after the spring or after the freshman class was signed.
Right.
So he didn't even have knowledge of the freshman players by going out and recruiting them. And I think that's a really tough situation to step into. So the thought press went into with Michigan State, you know, where to rank them in the Big Ten, things like that. And then other teams, you know, like maybe a Texas A&M with a very experienced team and Coach Jimbo Fisher there with his third recruiting class, not so much of an impact. I think they're going to do well this year.
All right. Well, do you have a confidence level on us playing anything close to a normal season?
Well, I'm going to be an optimistic guy at this point, and I'm going to say that as long as we have conference play, I'm happy.
Right.
Anything above that would be great, and I'm thinking we're going to have conference play this year. And if that's the case, you know, my magazine, when I rank the divisions and rank the conferences, I don't do it by overall strength of the teams. I do it by where I think they're going to finish in the conference. So
right.
The magazine is still 100% I'm happy with. If as long as we're playing conference play, you know, let the season start 3 weeks later than normal, I'm good with it. And I'm pretty confident that we're going to be playing football this year.
You're listening to Phil Steele, whose College Football Preview magazine can be ordered at philsteele.com and will ship out tomorrow, 350 pages. Phil, I love it when we ask you to reflect on the predictions you loved and didn't like so much from last year's magazine. What was the one you hit on most, and what was the one you misfired most?
I tell you, the one I did not like the most last year would have to be the University of Nebraska. I looked at them with the talent they had coming back, the schedule they had coming back, and picked them as my number one most improved team. And I don't generally miss on my number one most improved team in the country, but I did with Nebraska last year. They didn't even make a bowl, which is highly unusual. About 80% of those teams that make my most improved list do make a bowl game. So I was very beat up by that one. The one I was probably most proud of last year was every year in the magazine I ranked a group of five teams, and pretty much UCF, Boise State, those are the ones everybody was picking to get to the New Year's Day Six. I went out of the box and picked the Memphis Tigers to get to the New Year's Day Six bowl game, and Memphis made me sweat a little bit in the second half of the year, especially that last month, but they got there, and they played Penn State in, I believe it was the Cotton Bowl, for the New Year's Day Six as the top team in the group of five.
All right, here we are in Chattanooga, so we got to ask about Tennessee. You know, they finished strong. You know, we all know how they started last year with Georgia State, but they wind up winning eight games. This is and I'm still tempted, Phil, to ask you about the schedule in totality because there's that early trip to Oklahoma. But do you think that this is a team that can be closer to 9-3 or closer to 6-6, given that we know they've got Georgia, Florida, Bama, and Oklahoma on that schedule?
Yeah, and I'm going to go with closer to 9-3, and let me give you the reasons why. You know, Jeremy Pruitt, when he took over, didn't take over an overly talented team. In fact, a lot of the players on the team when he took over, he may not necessarily have recruited, and he was used to coming from places like Alabama and Georgia, and he didn't have that type of talent. Now, I went over the team with Coach Pruitt each of the first 2 years, and I went over the team with him once again this year, and this year's team is much better. You go back to that first year where he was the head coach. In the spring, he had 8 scholarship offensive linemen. This year he's got 16 scholarship offensive linemen. On the defensive line, when he took over, he had about 5 scholarship defensive linemen. This year he says the defensive line is the strength. They go about 10 deep. And in each area, you see depth and you see much more talent than they had when he stepped in. In fact, 7 of the 8 units rank in my top units in the front of the magazine. The only one that doesn't, it's not because of talent. They have plenty of speed at receiver, but the guys they lost, Juwan Jennings and Marquez Callaway gone, will one of those guys step up and be that go-to receiver? But they have my number 6 rated offensive line, number 13 rated defensive line. I asked Coach Pruitt pointedly. I said, Coach, you know, that first year you got beat by 25 points per game. This year you're playing Florida. You're playing Georgia. You're playing Oklahoma. You're playing Alabama. How do you feel you stack up with them? And he said he feels they can compete and beat any of the teams on his schedule, including Oklahoma and Alabama. So I'm going to go with that type of confidence. I didn't hear that type of confidence from him in year one. I do hear that type of confidence from him in year three. And that's why I'm saying they're going to be closer to 9-3 than 6-6 this year.
All right, and of course, Phil, we would all be at SEC Media Days right now had COVID not scrapped everything. And I would imagine for the umpteenth straight year, Alabama and Georgia would be picked to win their respective divisions. Who do you like better out of those teams and why, Alabama or Georgia?
I'm going to go with Alabama, and I know they're replacing their quarterback, which is a little bit iffy. I'm not enamored with Mac Jones. And the option would probably be Bryce Young, the true freshman coming in, who's talented, but he is a true freshman. But I am enamored with the rest of the Alabama team. They have my number one ranked offensive line in the entire country. Remember last year they were rather young on that offensive line. This year it's a veteran unit. The receiving core, they've got Jalen Waddle, they've got Devontae Smith, and they've got replacements for the guys they lost in Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs. And then you look at the running back core with Najee Harris, Trey Sanders, Brian Robinson, etc. They have one of the best running back cores in the country. Now, defensively, last year, they lost linebacker Dylan Moses right prior to the season, as well as Joshua McMillan. They had to play two true freshmen at linebacker the bulk of the year in Shane Lee and Christian Harris. Well, those guys now have experience. They get Moses and McMillan back. They were playing true freshmen on the defensive line as well, and those guys are now sophomores. And it's a more veteran defense than normal. They didn't lose as many guys to the NFL as they normally do. So I'm looking for Alabama to have a better defense, a very good offense led by my number one rated offensive line. And yet, believe it or not, Alabama will probably be favored in every single game this year. They do host Texas A&M, which is not a gimme. They play Georgia, but they get that game at home. So I'm going to go with Alabama in the SEC this year.
All right. Well, Phil, you know how we like to roll when you've been great, but we like to close with a rapid fire, just first thing off the top of the head. Ready to play?
You betcha. Let's go.
Of all the FBS coaches, who's the most forthcoming? Who would be on the phone with you for 5 hours if you only needed him for an hour?
Mike Leach.
And that hadn't changed.
Yeah, he'll talk to you forever about it, but not all of it's football, guys.
All right, which of those 110 or so coaches you talk to is the most pessimistic about football being played?
I'm going to go with Air Force's head coach, Calhoun, was the least optimistic that we would be playing in the fall.
Back to Mike Leach, who has the better first year, Mike Leach or Lane Kiffin?
Lane Kiffin. With Mike Leach, he's stepping into a tough situation trying to take a running team, turn into a passing team. With Lane Kiffin, he's inheriting a lot of freshman talent.
Who is the starting quarterback at Georgia, JT Daniels or Newman?
I'm going to go with Newman from Wake Forest. He's been there. He's a quality QB. Did a great job at Wake Forest last year.
Who is your SEC surprise team, both from a good and bad standpoint?
From a good standpoint, I'm going Texas A&M. They were an inexperienced team last year that played a brutal schedule, including three number one ranked teams, the number four team and the number eight team. This year they take on my number 66 schedule, and they jump to number 10 on my experience chart. And for a disappointing team, I'm going to go with the team that I'm going to go with Mississippi State. I think when you look at Mississippi State, it's going to be a probably 2 to 3 year switch over from the run-based team to the pass-based team. And Mike Leach struggled his first 3 years he was at Washington State.
All right, Tommy Tuberville is in a runoff to be a senator in the state of Alabama. What current college football coach would you vote for if he was running for political office?
Probably Shaw at Stanford.
All right.
Clemson or Ohio State, who do you like more? Or if I go Clemson, Ohio State, or other to win the national championship, where are you going?
I am going to take the team I picked number one in the magazine this year, and that is Ohio State. I think Ryan Day did a great job last year. He's got a lot of talent returning this year.
All right. When you put this puppy to bed each year, do you have a celebratory drink that you pour yourself?
Not a specific one, no, but a drink is always involved.
Fair enough, Phil. Thank
and
you
Phil,
as always.
Before we let you go, I read something on you the other day where I guess you had readers that were just devout getting your magazine year after year after year. You kept cramming stuff in there, and they actually started requesting magnifying glasses because of the type. Is that correct?
That is correct. We were getting down to like 6 and 7 point type, and they're like, you know what? You need to sell a magnifying glass. And I switched it up to 8 point type at that point.
That's great stuff. Listen, Phil, thank you so much. Thanks for all that you do. Boy, I hope everybody is still clinging to your magazine here in September, October, November, and December. We're all rooting for the same thing, and we just always appreciate you joining us here in Chattanooga on Press Row.
Hey, always a lot of fun, guys. Yeah, look forward to it each and every year. Let's play some football this season.
Sounds great. Phil Steele joining us here in Chattanooga on Press Row. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.